This is what happens when you cross Cabbage Patch Kids with pop culture and the inside of a gas station bathroom. We're talking Garbage Pail Kids. Hit it. It was 1985. Emblem Berets were in. Hurricane Gloria closed the New York Stock Exchange. The Police Academy graduates had their first assignment, and Topps designed a sticker trading card line to parody Cabbage Patch Kids and be the ultimate gross-out humor contraband at schools. I'm your host, Jerry D., with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest and a Totally Rad Christmas all-star. You might know him as the host of the Way Tubular Advent Calendar House, Mike Westfall. Mike, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you, Jerry?
You know, I'm doing all right. It's been, I know it's only Tuesday, but it's been kind of a week already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, nothing bad. Just a nice, relaxing, just great kind of week.
There you go.
So I'm excited to see what else happens this week. Besides talking with you, which is always fun.
Thank you.
Everything going all right for the Westfall family?
Yep. Family's doing well. Kids are going to be back to school on campus in just a few weeks, but my wife works at their school. She teaches kindergarten there. It's been very safe. We've had no COVID cases.
That is amazing. Yeah. My wife is also a teacher. But luckily this year she transferred from being a just general, like fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And she also taught first grade, but now she's a dyslexia therapist.
Okay.
So nice. Much more limited, you know, capacity. And so, yeah, it's very safe there. So at least the only case at her school has been her from when I got it and gave it to her. So I felt really bad with that. But yeah, so far so good, knock on wood. But
all right.
So, you know, we're talking Garbage Pail Kids tonight.
We are.
Yeah. What's your general like experience, or what are your thoughts on Garbage Pail Kids?
I was fascinated by them, but I never actually collected them. I just remember everyone else in my, I guess it was kindergarten class collecting them. That was 85. Yeah, I was in mm-hmm. kindergarten. I just remember them all having them their stickers on there, and I thought they were the coolest things because I thought I misheard. I thought I had like misunderstood what Cabbage Patch Kids were when I saw these. I'm like, did I miss a whole layer of what these things were about? No, these are different and a parody. I didn't realize that as a young 5 year old. But
no, I understand. I was the same way. Did you have a Cabbage Patch Kid?
I did. If it had a name, I don't remember it. If it had clothes, they were lost very quickly. I just had Naked Cabbage Patch Kid in a pile with all my other.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yep. So I did have a Cabbage Patch Kid, but I was not attached to it at all. I mean, how could you be when there were toys like He-Man and stuff around?
Right.
You
know?
So my brother had one. He really loved his. In fact, I remember the name of his more than I actually remember mine. Yeah, his was like Toby Brooks. And so it was, you know, one of those things where my mom needed to raise money. Like, I guess their whole school was trying to raise money for a teacher friend of hers that I think she had cancer or she was sick or something like that. And so they were trying to raise money for that. So my mom asked if she could, you know, sell my Cabbage Patch Kid since I didn't really play with it. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah. Go ahead, whatever. But the funny thing is that as soon as I learned about Garbage Pail Kids, it was one of those where, like, no, don't touch my Garbage Pail Kids. These are mine.
they spoke to you in a way that the normal Cabbage Patch Kids just couldn't.
No, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when you got guys like Savage, or I guess Mad Mike, I suppose is how most people remember him. But, you know, the Conan one.
Yeah.
You know, when you got guys like that, I mean, the regular Cabbage Patch Kid just really doesn't compare.
No, not at all. I had Live Mike, which was a rock star with a Van Halen looking guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And getting electrocuted by his microphone.
Yeah, that guy was really cool. And okay, so I have to admit something here, and I'm a little ashamed about it, but also I'm like crazy not ashamed at all. When I started collecting them, because I didn't try to collect them to get all of them. I collected the ones that I thought were cool. So all the rest I would give to like my brothers and stuff like that. And so I actually have these drawings here. I found them. So I started creating like my own little Avengers Justice League style team.
Wow.
And so, these are kind of terrible, but and I'll scan these and show them. But like, here's
goodness.
Some of these guys fighting.
That's amazing.
They have their powers there. There's Roy Bot and Split Kit. And there's a few others.
Oh, you people are in for a treat whenever you are able to see this.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I doubt that. But thank you. I do appreciate
that's that's a very special kind of nostalgia that you've created there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was super into, you know, comic books. And of course, you know, you'd watch all these cartoons and I mean, even Dungeons and Dragons, you know, there's everybody kind of has their own little thing, you know. And so it was kind of like I saw these and I just thought, wow, this is cool. Let's put them together as like a team and they'd fight crime or I don't know, whatever they'd fight.
Sure.
Cleanliness, I guess. The Cabbage Patch Kids. You know, so yeah, it was just one of those things that I put them together. And so, of course, my favorite was like Nasty Nick, the vampire, who's card number A. And then, of course, I had, you know, the Conan one. And I think they were just so cool because, you know, some of them were kind of gross, you know, like there was boogers and, you know, gas and stuff like
Messy
that.
Messy Tessie
and,
is
yes,
the one I remember.
Yes, there was several. I think Slobby Robbie was another one, something like that. And but, you know, it's parents didn't really like them because they were kind of gross. And so it was some of the cards showed the kids in like these, you know, with disabilities. And it almost seemed like they were making fun of them. And I don't think that was the intent at all. But
no,
it at least kind of I could see how some people would think that that's what was being portrayed. And so, you know, it was almost kind of cool to own them. You know, it was like this contraband kind of a thing, you know, this like, ha, I've got them. And
maybe that's why I didn't collect them. Maybe my parents, I don't know. That wouldn't seem on brand with my parents. They didn't really, I don't want to say they were restricting. I certainly wasn't like free reign to whatever I wanted to watch, but I mean, like they were fine with me watching things like The Simpsons when I was a little older than that. So I don't know. I just never got into the habit of collecting these, but I definitely remember them and I remember the different characteristics. And I remember things like that. I couldn't name the ones that were depicted with disabilities or anything, but I remember like one of the ones that I remember a lot of people having was Hot Scott, and it was just the devil.
Oh yeah. I do remember with the diaper on, right?
With the diaper on. Yeah. They all had diapers on.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're Cabbage Patch Kids essentially. Yeah, they're just right? the twisted version of them, I guess.
The humor of them just went off in all kinds of different directions. You had like Hot Scott and it's the devil, and then you had Messy Tessie and it's just gross, like entangled with snot, and then you had caricatures of people. You had Rap and Run and it's President Reagan with a Cabbage Patch face, and that's the joke.
Yeah, it's one of those where I mean you really did have like such a variety and such a huge range of characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I was kind of upset, because I was very excited to see, you know, the Cabbage Patch Kids movie when that was coming out. But I was like super upset when they didn't choose like my favorite ones. You know, and I was like, why would you not choose this guy? He's like really cool, you know, kind of a thing. And
yeah.
I mean, I get it now as an adult, but at the time I totally, you know, it went way over my head. Like, why in the world would they not want, you know, the laser tag playing kid in there? Or, I mean, just all these things that went through my head. And I was just very angry.
Yeah, I don't think they really understood the target audience of the trading cards. That this is not a movie for them, although it was supposed to be. But it was just, I have a special appreciation for the Garbage Pail Kids movie. It's like watching a dumpster fire.
Yeah, just, that's
a- no one's getting hurt, but you can't help but stare.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's something about it. It's you just can't turn it off. But at the same time, it's not good, like, at all. It's not, it's no. Like really not. And so I remember it was about 10 years ago, and it was my brother's birthday, and I didn't know what to get him. And all of a sudden, I just thought, it just popped in my head. I was like, I need to get him the Garbage Pail Kids movie. So I hunted it down on Blu-ray, and I got him the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Wow. And it's just, I think that's part of the charm of it at this point. It was just the effects and just the cinematography of it all and the right, everything about it is just so bad. And it's not a so bad it's good case. It's just a so bad you can't help just stay with it until the end.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I remember about Garbage Pail Kids, and this is more of just a personal memory, but mm-hmm. I remember after school this one year, and it had to be around 87 maybe, yeah, about 87-ish.
Okay.
And so for this particular year, we weren't going to my mom's school for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but we would get picked up and we would get taken to like an after-school daycare kind of thing. And I think it was just because my parents wanted to finish work, get stuff done, and whatever. So we were there, and I remember actually one of the teachers was drawing like on a, you know, just regular 8.5 by 11, you know, blank page. She mm-hmm. was like drawing Deadly Dudley, one of these, and I don't know why I remember that, but it was a, you know, Garbage Pail Kid. He's the one that's like an executioner. He's got the axe.
Okay, yeah.
Mask on
the
him,
hood.
Yeah, the hood. And so she was drawing, and it was like really good. And
wow.
So why a teacher was drawing that, I don't know, but you know, it's just that stuck with me. And so I remember just really loving them even more after that for some reason. It just, you know, it was like, wow, that's cool. I want to do that. And so that kind of actually inspired my love of drawing.
There you go.
Which is really neat. And so that's more of, you know, just one of those memories that you have that's just so random that you don't ever think of, but someone says something and all of a sudden, like, brings back, you know, it just comes back to you. And so, yeah.
That's a part of you now.
Exactly. Yeah. Just, and I mean, that's why I draw. So,
yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. Just because a random person that I don't ever know was drawing a Garbage Pail Kid.
That's amazing.
But one thing that I liked before we get into, and we'll get into a little bit, because we're going to be talking about the Garbage Pail Kid TV show, which I,
yes.
as a kid, completely missed. And there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Yes.
There is a reason. But before we get into that, one of the things that I always liked about Garbage Pail Kids was that they had two names. So it was like,
yeah, I completely forgot that part of it as I'm looking back, and I looked up. All right, I remember Live Mike. I remember Hot Scott. Wait a minute, there are two of them. Oh, for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That just, I guess they wanted to make sure that every popular kid's name was in there. So they just, all right, just reprint this and make a different joke about it.
You know, I think if I had to guess, I bet they had like two great names for, you know, some of these cards and they couldn't decide. And they're like, you know what, let's use both.
And then that
yeah, let's do it.
Became their MO.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but that's probably what I would have done. Like, oh, I can't decide. All right, both it is. And so there was like an A card and a B card. And the very last card of each series was a checklist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget because it was yellow. You know, it had the white border and it was the yellow yep. inside with every single person. And so my dad actually, because he was a big card collector, he had, of course, he had old baseball cards and,
yep.
you know, like a Jackie Robinson rookie card and stuff like that. I mean,
wow,
he ended up selling it. But yeah, he had like 53 tops. Well, we needed the money at the time. But, you know, okay. he had like 53 tops and like all sorts of like just great sets. And so he always collected cards. And so he had ridiculous cards as well. I mentioned earlier off, you know, before we started, I mentioned to you about the Gremlins cards and Indiana Jones cards. And I mean, he had a bunch of those style card, Mork and Mindy cards and all sorts of random TV shows. And, you know, Topps was just licensing everything. And so he actually had like a complete first series of the Garbage Pail Kids cards.
Wow.
And I think he ended up getting rid of that too when it was time for one of us to go to college. But, you know,
my dad collected baseball cards as a kid. And then he always tells me the story of that. His parents threw out the collection when he got in trouble or something. As a young adult, before I was born and when I was very little, he would start collecting baseball Hall of Fame placard postcards for each one.
Oh, nice.
And he would mail them away to a lot of these players and get them signed back.
Oh, wow.
And then he would go to trade shows and like bring baseballs and have them signed and everything. So he's got a pretty impressive collection of that stuff. So when I started collecting baseball cards, I would only get like a year's worth. I have like, well, not anymore, but I remember having like 1993 was the year I started really getting into that. And I had a bunch of Marvel superhero trading cards.
I did too. Yeah.
So those were the two that I really actually stuck to collecting as much as I could. And I didn't have the full set of any of them, I don't think. Maybe the baseball one, but definitely not the Marvel one.
So the Marvel ones, and I know it's off topic, but you know, it's not a podcast if you don't go off topic. So those ones, my dad just randomly one day brought home a box of the Marvel trading cards. And so we were able to make three different sets, which was great because, you know, there were three of us boys. So it all worked out. But from there, I went on to collect like series 2 and series 3 and series 4 of those Marvel cards. And when I went to pick up a bunch of stuff from my parents' house, because they were moving and they're like, you know, hey, come get your junk. So I opened up a box and sure enough, you know, there was my binder with the plastic pages full of the complete sets of those Marvel cards. Did you use those plastic pages?
We used the binders.
Yeah.
It was a fun transition. If you just, my mom probably just had binders at home. Here's a binder of, that's a photo album. Here's a binder that's baseball cards. Here's a binder that's CDs.
Nice. Yeah, I don't, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, nowadays everybody has everything like on their phone or on the cloud
or
on their computer. So it's like a binder. What's a binder? Do people still use binders? You know?
I try to, my kids love stickers because what kid doesn't love stickers? And I try to get them, like I'll buy just a blank notebook and said, you want to put stickers somewhere, here you go. And they just couldn't latch onto that concept.
Wow. So, oh, man. See, that was one of my favorite parts. You know, and you just get it all just decked out, and it was awesome, and it was the coolest thing ever. So, the funny thing is, with the Garbage Pail Kids cards, they were meant to be stickers. You know, they were stickers, but I never peeled those off actually, and those ones I kept just nice and just put them in the little plastic pages as well. All my favorites.
Awesome.
Yeah, my little superhero team. I think I called them like GPK Force or something like that.
Nice.
Or I don't know what it was. I'm sure it was like something ridiculous in late 80s, early 90s or something. But so I didn't realize that in 1987, they actually had a Garbage Pail Kid cartoon. And
no, this completely, I didn't know about this until very, very, very recently.
Yeah, and the only reason, well, not the only reason, but the main reason I didn't know about it was because it was canceled before it was even aired. So they'd produced a first season, and so many parents groups actually complained about it that they decided just to pull it. So it aired in the UK and I think Canada as well, and of course later on other places, but it aired there in 87. And we're going to be talking about a particular segment of a particular episode because it was kind of one of those cartoons that was in two parts. And so, you know, there would be like an A story and then like a B story, which, you know, a lot of cartoons are like that too. You know, Smurfs had something similar. And
They still do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's several cartoons that do that. PJ Masks, I think, still does, you know, stuff like that, which, you know, of course, I know because my kids love PJ Masks.
The newest one that my kids are watching is called Bluey.
Yes.
Australian. Yeah.
Oh, my kids love that one too.
Love Bluey. I love Bluey. I'm like, oh, this is great.
The dad is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like the dad best of all. Yeah. It's funny. And I know, again, we're off topic, but who cares? It's the opening when they're doing like that freeze dance kind of thing. And yeah, the dad does like that lawnmower or not the sprinkler.
And there it is.
So as soon as it comes on, you know, my kids just look at me and they expect me to do it. So I have to do the sprinkler.
Well, I'm glad it's not just me.
No. but yeah, so it aired in two parts, but it was also because Garbage Pail Kids weren't just the cars. Like if you turn it on the back, it had usually like a little funny something like a wanted poster or like a certificate of you know, like some sort of certificate. So for example, the a diploma, here's one, Garbage Pail University School of Medical Arts. And then it was like, let it be known that, and then blank, you'd write your name, has successfully completed a 6-week course of study and is henceforth entitled to the esteemed and honorable degree of MD, moronic dope. Furthermore, you are hereby qualified to specialize in the following medical disciplines. And then of course, you know, it lists them on and so on. So, you know, it's like all these little things that are licensed to take over the TV set. And my brother actually wrote his name on this one, David. Awarded to the Squealer's license, Bad Taste Award, you know, stuff like that. And so there was a couple of little segments in the cartoon as well where there was just like some, I think the Groaners segment where it's just like bad jokes, you know, and you could actually hear, of course, instead of a laugh track, it was a,
just a chorus of not even boos, just
yeah, exactly,
really pronounced,
yeah, just groans. And so they had a couple of those wedged in as well, and so I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, this was a cartoon, it really did embody the spirit of the Garbage Pail Kids, but so much so that instead of just having an adventure with these, you know, sometimes gross, wacky, you know, creatures, that they also threw in just these little bits in the back of the cards as well that I never really paid any attention to. So
it really does feel like you're flipping over a card and you're getting this part of it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So on one hand, I am sorry that we never saw this in the States, but on the other hand, it gave us an extra half hour of Muppet Babies every Saturday.
So that is true.
Not too upset.
Yeah, and I loved the Muppet Babies, so I can't complain. Yeah. My kids just recently started watching the originals. So,
oh, did they? Very nice.
Yeah. So they're really digging that. And I mean, I don't blame them. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, at least I enjoy it much better than, you know, I enjoy it much better than the new one, which, and I still like the new one, but I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's not the
same. New one is for a different audience. So I understand.
Yeah, for real. But the episode we're talking about, of course, there was actually an A story, but we're not going to be talking about that A story. We're going to be talking about the B story, which is called Christmas in August. Now, I probably, if I had learned about this earlier, I probably would have scheduled this for August. But because I didn't learn about this until like late August, early September, I think I'm okay to.
Close enough.
I'm excused. Yeah. And yes, it is December right now, so it's okay. But anyway, so there was a Garbage Pail Kid named Chris Mess, who is like a mugger kind of guy, at least on the card. He's kind of a mugger, yeah. I suppose. He's got the not really a domino mask, it's like that burglar's mask.
The one that just goes over your eyes, like it's almost like a Ninja Turtles mask in shape, but it's the black one.
The black, yeah.
That it's just a handkerchief with eye holes cut out and tied around your head.
Yeah, exactly. So you know that he's not good. So he was actually from Series 7, card number 254A, Christmas.
Yeah. And, so he's got the mask, and he's like also wearing a Santa Claus suit.
Wearing a Santa Claus suit, yeah. And he's just hit someone over the head. Or at least that's what you presume. And he's looking through their wallet, taking their cash.
That sounds about right for a fake Santa.
You know, he's got the, what's it called? The shillelagh, or I think that's what they call it.
I guess so.
Is Santa Irish?
No.
I don't know what it's called. You know, the little thing that you hit people with. There's a name.
Oh, yeah, shillelagh.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so he's got that. There's a guy on the ground. He's looking through his wallet. And so he's like the main antagonist of this episode here. Christmas. And of course he's got the Santa Claus suit with the beard, and the beard doesn't have a mustache. It's kind of just down, sitting lower on his face, which I really enjoyed as well.
Right. It's just, he's not even attempting to make it look like a beard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's him and his companions, Melton Elton, which they never actually say his name, so I'm assuming it's that one. Otherwise, it could be Ig Lou. I don't know if it's card A or card B. But he was a snowman, and he's got the scarf and everything. And on the card, he's there actually trying to keep himself warm against a fire, but he's also melting. So, you know.
I'm looking at this Wikipedia entry now for... The card says Igloo, but it's saying that the name attributed in the episode is Melton Elton. So I don't know where they're getting that from. They don't have names in the credits, but...
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, even on IMDb for this particular episode, I couldn't find... Yeah, nothing. So it was like, okay, well, I assume it's this one, but who knows? His other companion, the other guy that kind of helps him in the scheme, is Yuletide. Mm-hmm. So he's like a green garbage pail kid, and he's got a star on his head. He's supposed to be like a Christmas tree.
He's got
the diaper on. His feet are stuffed into like the tree stand. And he's got all the lights and tinsel and everything around him. And so, of course, his other name was Murray Christmas. So, again, I'm not sure which one it is because they never say his name outright in the episode.
This thing I'm looking at is going with Yuletide.
Yeah. That's who I assumed just because that was card A. So
there you go.
And he's number 297A. Melton Elton was 158A.
Okay.
So not that really matters, just
here. Just, but fun fact, if you're looking up.
There you go, yeah. And knowing is half the battle.
There you go.
But essentially, the cartoon centered around several Garbage Pail Kids, one of them was my favorite. So it was Patty Putty, series 2, 42A. Split Kit, who was one of the guys that I had put on my superhero team. So he was kind of cool. Series 2, nice. 81A. Elliot Mess. Which I thought it was kind of weird that they went with two people named Mess, because I assumed they could have gone with Chris Mess's other name, but instead they went with Elliot Mess. Yeah. And he's the one that it's like he was kind of jigsawed together. So he's got like a foot where his head is and like a peg leg. And
yeah, he's like there's a foot with a sock on it where his head should be. And then he's like carrying his face in his hand.
In his hand, yeah.
And I get the joke. It's that like a playoff of Elliot Ness, the character.
Right, from the Untouchables, yeah.
This Garbage Pail Kid character has nothing to do with that. He's just got like a sports jacket on, a baseball hat on.
Like, that's what I don't get it. Yeah.
I know where the name's from, but why is that your name?
And they're usually so clever. I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that one, Split Kit, who I mentioned. He's so half of him, he's literally like as if you were to draw a line down the middle, like Two-Face, where one side is like really good
and it's
kind of evil, you know, and he's got like the, of course, it's the 80s, so he's like really punk, you know.
Yep.
The hair is dyed pink, and in the cartoon they kind of draw it as if it's like a tattoo around his eye, is what I noticed,
or maybe face paint.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be kiss paint, but it's colored pink or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm not even sure. But what I did think was kind of odd was that I guess in the first two episodes of the show, the kids would actually transform into these characters. So they had like regular alter egos, and then all of a sudden, episode 3, they just stuck to the
forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Too much trouble, I guess. But there's Clogged Dwayne, and he was no, I'm not speaking with the lisp. It's Clogged Dwayne.
Yeah.
Series. Where do I have him? Series 259A. Then we had Terry Cloth. Now, she was interesting because she actually has a hand like a face on her hand, you know, like when you draw it and you make your thumb.
Yes. With the mouse. With the little like hand puppet. Like, yes. Senior Wences.
That's exactly. Yeah.
That ain't right.
What's interesting though, in the card, she's just, it's like she's washing her face and her face is just on the towel. And so like she has no.
Right. Face. So that joke makes sense. It doesn't make sense when it's her hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Artistic license, I guess. But those are like our main Garbage Pail Kids that we deal with here.
Yep.
And of course we got great voices like Cree Summer and
I think that's Claude Duane.
And I think you're right. And Tara Strong. Yeah, another one. I mean, there's some good talent here. So
Allison Court, I heard at one point.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's some great talent, great voices. The art style is okay. They, at this point, it wasn't quite to that time when they were sued. So the big controversy about Garbage Pail Kids, which I think is actually quite ironic, is that they were sued by the creators of Cabbage Patch Kids and, you know, Xavier Roberts. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so that's why, like, around, I think it's around series 8 or series 9, and they actually kind of changed their style. So originally, when you're looking at the card, they have the lettering. See, it's kind of arced.
Yep.
And there's, you know, the white goes around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of drips down. Later on, because they couldn't use that style, it was very much too Cabbage Patchy. So they came up with like this banner right here where it's just
a banner thing.
As well, their facial expressions kind of changed a little bit. And so they weren't quite that cute, chubby little kid that they were. And so they changed the eye line a little bit. The cheeks weren't quite as round. The nose is just slightly different. It's like changed enough that now it's, it's different, I guess.
That's like on Conan when they do like public domain versions of songs.
Yes. Yeah, exactly like that. But yeah, it was a trademark infringement. And I thought it was really, really humorous and ironic because, they were, you know, the creators of the Cabbage Patch Kids. You know, Xavier Roberts was actually sued by the lady that taught him how to make them, and they ended up settling out of court as well.
Learned a lot about lawsuits.
Yes,
I think I'll file my own.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're going to create some cards, you know, make sure it's different enough that. Although I think nowadays, I mean, I really think they probably could have gotten away with it nowadays if they had just, I mean, I'm surprised that they actually.
Well, I think they just, did they just settle? Is that how that ended, with just a out of court settlement? But I know where you're going with this, with it. Parody law should cover that quite a bit, but I guess, yeah, it was too close of a parody, I guess. I don't know where that line is.
Yeah. Apparently, they'd even produced a Series 16, but by that time, sales had dwindled so bad that they just decided to cut it. Of course, they came out in 2003. They came out with some new series, so that was cool. In fact, now they have online ones. They have convention special cards. They have all sorts of things that you can download, and there's some really great Christmas cards as well. But again, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about Christmas in August.
Yeah.
This was a... I don't know if I'd say fun, but it was definitely a watch.
You know, it was a watch. Quite a story.
I showed it to my kids, and I kind of don't know if I should have nowadays.
Uh-oh.
Now, right away, they knew. I would ask questions like, is that the real Santa? And of course, they'd say, no. And
no.
Are we supposed to be bad? No.
Yeah, don't get any ideas.
Exactly. Yeah. But the gist of it, if you want to nutshell it, is that Chris Mess impersonates Santa to try to get kids to be bad in order for him to steal some presents, I guess.
I don't know what the end game is here.
I don't either.
I think it's just anarchy.
Maybe. Some men just want to watch the world burn. But yeah,
got the hair for it.
You're right. Yeah, you're right about that. But it starts off where the kids, they hear that, you know, they see all the decorations. They're like, what? It's not Christmas because it's supposed to be August.
It's August.
Yeah. And so right away, you know, they talk to, I guess, the manager of the shop. And he says, yeah, didn't you hear? We got word that Santa Claus is coming to town. So they started decorating. And so, of course, Patty Putty, who's really good, she brushes her teeth every night.
Yep.
You know, she does all her homework. She is so excited. And Split Kit, who apparently has not been very good, is not very excited to see Santa.
Not excited.
Not at all. Yeah. Which I get. I mean, it must be tough to have that kind of personality where you're just completely
opposite. When you know it's just like, I haven't had a good year. I'm going to be sweating it out these last few days of December. And when it happens to come in August, oh, that's even more pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What happened to my four extra months I had to.
Right.
So they're on their way to go see Santa. Now, this part I kind of enjoyed because there's the whole tree set up. There's snow and they're like bringing in dump trucks full of snow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how they do it here in Florida.
That makes sense. I mean,
they just bring in truckloads of man-made snow and dump it in a park and here, kids, go nuts.
Is that like the stuff they'd use for movies?
Probably. It's legitimate snow. It's not like when you go to a theme park and it's just soap bubbles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
It's actually snow and it's like how they make it on a ski hill.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, that's cool. So this is where we get our first glimpse of Melton Elton at this point.
Yeah.
So the kids are on their way and they're like, wow, you know, the decorations, but you know, look at that tree. And then that snowman's kind of weird.
Because he's half melted.
Yeah. Well, not just that, he's also alive, but
oh yes.
Yeah, this is I don't even know how to describe this one, but he gives right away one of those evil cackles, you know.
And yeah.
Like something's going on. Everybody's so excited. They're in line. You know, they're like, Santa, Santa. And right away, he's like, out of the way, move it. You know, he's just kind of shoving all these children that are waiting for him in line. And while our protagonists, you know, the main kids are waiting patiently, all of a sudden, some bully just kind of cuts in line. And, you know, of course, Patty Putty, being the goody two-shoes that she is, says, hey, you know, you're supposed to be good. And Santa's like, oh, I like you, kid.
Yeah. I like your style.
I like your style. When, you know, whenever you can push a wimp out of the way, you know, good job. You know? It's just, oh, man. The lines in these shows are not great. But
they're, you know, not. I don't want to call them over the top because I don't think they make it to the top. But it's just, they get right to the point.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So he right away congratulates the kids. Everyone's kind of freaking out. And then Patty Putty, she sits on, you know, she goes to talk to him and she says, you know, I've been good. I do everything I'm supposed to do. And he gets like mad at her. He literally just starts yelling at her and is, you know, I don't like that. I want all the kids to be bad this year. And
kind of makes it an announcement.
Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, I get it, but you're right. What's the point? I don't understand what the main point of all this is. And so to me, it kind of misses the mark there. And I guess it doesn't have to have a point because it's Garbage Pail Kids, but at the same time, it's
right.
You know, it would be nice if I kind of knew, you know, like
maybe
why.
In hindsight, I think he was trying to get, well, if I'm not going to get anything for Christmas, no one should, but they don't play off that at all.
At all. Nope. Nope. See, and then later on, they're in that place later on with all the presents. And so it, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, like, was he trying to steal some presents? But then why, like, what presents? It's August. No one has presents. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I don't get it. But all I know is that Split Kit hears the news that he wants everybody to be bad. And so he's like, yeah.
And so, I'm back in the black.
Exactly. So he starts picking on a kid that was about to drink some water, and he's like squirts, you know, does that thing where you squirt the water into some kid's face.
Right.
You know, that classic thing. And so right away Christmas is like, hey, all right, that's great. So everybody's like, what are you doing? And at this point, anarchy starts to reign. So Yuletide, who has been kind of by the stage, you know, pretending to be a Christmas tree, he overhears everything. And so he goes to report to his boss, Chris Mess. You know, it's like, hey, there's this kid. You know, I think, I don't know about these other kids. They're still trying to be good. And so Chris Mess is like, oh, don't worry. That kid with the tricky face, he's got it. You know, I'll just make him a special visit. So he goes to visit Split Kit at this point. And basically he tells him, look, I'll give you anything you want for Christmas if you just make everybody bad. You know, just do what you can to, mm-hmm. to forgive me here, but as they'd say, to unleash hell. You know,
they didn't say that in the cartoon.
No, they sure didn't, but
they were thinking it.
Oh, I could tell he was. And so, of course, Split Kit's like, yeah, I love it. And so he's in the center of the town, you know, the town square again. And so Melton Elton, the snowman that's working with Christmas, is like, hey, here's some snowballs. And he just starts handing him snowballs. And so there's a funny bit where Split Kit starts like throwing all these balls and, you know, it hits the lady and her wig comes off. But there's this one dude that's just like walking by, you know, just walking down the street. And there's like one of those holes cut in a fence, like a construction fence or something, you know?
Right.
And so he just like randomly just stops to look in the hole, which like, why? Like, why would you?
What are you doing? How's that building coming along?
Exactly. Yeah. And then the snowball, like for some reason, like boomerangs, he actually throws it. And if you look closely, it goes over the fence and then comes around through the hole and it actually hits the man in the face. So
that's quite a shot.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know what happened, but that guy, he's got some serious skills.
Yeah.
Like talk about a wicked slice there. Great curveball. So of course the garbage pail kids are like, what's going on? Everybody's fighting. They even try to defend the little boy from being beaten up by a bully.
Love this part.
And the little boy is like, no, I want him to pick on me, you know, that way I can kick him in the shins and then we'll both get presents. And they're like, well, that's not very nice. And he's like, well, tell that to Split Kit. So then, of course, they have a little heart-to-heart.
With pay him a visit.
Exactly. And so he's just there, just still with the snowballs, causing havoc. They see what he's doing. They see that the snowman himself is actually kind of making everything going. And so they kind of, I guess they follow him to Chris Mess's hideout. Is that what happens next?
I think so, or just behind some building or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so while they're there, I think that's what it is. They track him to Chris Mess's hideout. And, you know, he's like, he has a bunch of junk he's going to load into his helicopter. I don't know why he's got all this presence here. Again, I don't know where all this stuff came from. It's, you know, August. So no one's prepared. No one's bought anything. But right. His whole thing is that he's going to load the stuff into his helicopter and then give nothing or just junk items to everybody else.
For no reason.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best right there. And here we get a garbage pail kid that I could not identify for the life of me. It was the associate. So the kids, the main kids, like sneak into his warehouse. And as they're...
Oh, yeah. Well, because he's wrapped up in this gift.
Wrapped up in a present. And so I was trying to find one that was wrapped up in a present, and I could not... for the life of me, find one. So at this point, I think they've only released like 8 series. So it's okay. Got to be in the first 8. And I didn't see him. So unless they just made him up, or unless like they did the whole Terry Cloth thing and just repurposed one. I mean, I have no idea. But even Clogged Dwayne, even he is different from his card. So in the card, he's actually... like going down a sink and, you know, so it's like, it's just his torso and he's kind of being like sucked down a drain.
Right.
Here he's kind of like melting and has like liquid powers or something.
Yeah. He's just watery.
Yeah. I don't understand, but you know, I'll accept it. So, you know, they go, they're talking with his associate. He's like, I used to help him out. He just wants everybody, you know, he was never on Santa's good list and never got any presents. So I guess he just wants to ruin Christmas for everyone. So I guess that is his end
game. So that wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then from here, you know, he's like, there's only one person that can stop him, and that's the real Santa.
Yep.
So they hop in their plane, which I noticed also had like a funny little Garbage Pail Kid face, although I couldn't find a plane, a Garbage Pail Kid as well. But they hop in their plane and they, you know, they fly to the North Pole, which like any kid would do, you know?
Absolutely.
And from here, I love it because they have that trope where there actually is a pole at the North Pole.
Yes, it's just a pole. And then and Santa then, works just a ways over there.
There he is right there. And it's this tiny little building, which I thought was interesting because there's no elves around. So it's literally just Santa.
Well,
he even said something about automation. And so I guess he had to downsize, you know, he had to give the elves their walking papers or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, he pushed that one button and all of a sudden he's got his whole computer workstation there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's like a little mini bat cave or something, or like a Spider-Man and his amazing friends, you know, they'd press.
Oh
button,
yeah.
Everything just turned around.
Yep. That's exactly what's happening here. And the kids love it.
Oh yeah.
Now Santa's voice, it's not credited at all, but it sounds like Peter Cullen when he did Santa in Christmas Comes to Packland. His name's not on here, but I think it might be him.
Ooh, I hope so. I so hope it is. Oh, man, Peter Cullen. I mean, it doesn't get any – if you need like a deep, you know, just voice with presence, you know, you got to go with Peter Cullen. But yeah,
keep up with you youngins with this computer. It sounds almost one-to-one to his voice of Santa in Pac-Man. So maybe it's him and he just wasn't credited.
Could be. I mean, as much as they did try, I mean, a lot of times people still were uncredited at this era.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could be him. I hope it is. I really do. Because that would just make it awesome. But he has this thing where they're trying to like tell him what happened. He's like, well, hold on. I got to make sure you guys are good first.
Yeah.
So he looks them up in his computer. And of course he's like, oh, you're good. So finally he like tells them, he listens to them and they're telling him all about the plot and Christmas. He's like, Christmas. So he looks them up at the computer too. And he's like, oh, he's terrible. He never did, he never did his homework and, you know, never brushed his teeth.
Right.
Or no, he never took a bath is what it was.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he never took a bath. Anyway, so he's like, okay, well, you know, we'll go stop him. And we get a great thing where they're driving and they're flying in Santa's sleigh. And he's like, on Dasher, on Dancer, you know, and Murray. It's like, Murray?
Murray?
What happened to Blitzen? It's like, oh, he works for the Easter Bunny in the off season.
It's August.
Oh man,
it's a good joke, but it's August.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point, this is where Christmas and his gang, they're flying their helicopter with like this one little reindeer attached to the
right
in front of it to I guess pretend that it's supposed to be the sleigh. And so he drops down to see Split Kit. And of course he's like, you know, what did I get? And he's like, oh, I gave you this, you know, this top prize. It's the greatest prize. And so he opens it up. He's like, yeah, booby prize. And it's that classic, you know, popping up snakes from a can.
Yes.
Did you ever have one of those?
I didn't. I don't know if I've ever seen one in person.
Same here. I wanted one so bad because I would see them on all those shows and I never got one. And I, oh man.
As often as you would see that on TV, I feel like that would have come up way more as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still waiting to get
I've never seen one.
Same here, which is kind of a bummer.
Well, Christmas is coming, folks. Get me a box with snakes in it.
Spring-loaded snakes.
Yeah.
So of course Split Kid at this point now is like, you know, I knew it. You're not the real Santa. You're bad. And I should have been good. And so they take him and they tie him up. I don't know how the rope, but somehow, you know, it's that classic cartoon thing where the rope just kind of does its own little thing.
Yep. And
so they tie him up. He's riding in the helicopter, but Santa and his gang like come and, you know, Santa and the Garbage Pail Kids. It's not his gang.
It's my gang now.
And so Patty Putty, because she can stretch, kind of
yes.
unties Split Kid, but she does it with her mouth, which I thought was funny. Like, why not just use her hand? But yeah, so
hey, yeah.
I don't know why, but her lips like stretch, and you know, she like tells him, "Hey, it's us. We're gonna let you go." And then she unties him with her mouth. But like, she could have just put her hand in. I think he would have known.
Easier to animate.
Yeah, I guess so. So then, at this point, Split Kid's mad, and of course, he's, you know, pretty awesome, I guess, at combat, and so he's just beating them all up so that when they land, you know, Christmas and all the guys just kind of run out of the house. You know, or run out of the helicopter, and they're like, you know, let us go. And so then they tie them up, and Split Kit again with that rope thing where it kind of has a mind of its own.
Yep.
And he's like, "Santa, I have a present for you." And so of course he's like, "Well, you know, I'll have them work it off and they'll have another chance to earn their good."
Yes. Because he looks down, it's like, "No, looks like you've all been naughty," but the Garbage Pail Kids ask, "What are you going to do about them?" Said, "I'm going to give them one more chance to be good." Mm-hmm. And they brings them back to the North Pole and makes them work them off in his workshop, becoming honorary elves.
I guess so. You know, so if you're naughty,
oh no, what a punishment! I have to go to the North Pole and work for Santa.
Yeah,
tough life.
Well, hopefully, I'm gonna hope that they turn their lives around.
Let's hope so.
But I don't know. In fact, they released a couple of other Christmas cards as part of the new series that they did like in the last decade or so.
Did they?
Yeah. And it still seems like he's up to his old tricks. So I don't know. But of course, Split Kit has a bit where, you know, it's like, "Did you learn anything?" And he's like, "Yeah, I learned that, it's about giving. You know, it's better to give than to receive." And he does a thing where he karate chops the conveyor belt and the present, like one of the jack-in-the-boxes, I think it was, gets wrapped up and somehow it's all boxed and packaged.
Yeah, he like bangs on it like Fonzie on a jukebox.
Yeah, and it's just all done, which makes sense. I mean, he's got the leather jacket.
Sure. You know,
he's supposed to be the cool guy. And so then that's kind of how it ends. It's better to give than to receive. And everybody just, call it a day. Of course, after this, they did a Wanted the Bathroom Hog little bit, which was kind of funny.
Which was weird, but
it was definitely weird, especially
it was ending. Yeah, that was, it reminded me of like an Animaniacs bit at the end of that. Like almost like a good idea bad idea. But the voice in that one is Len Carlson, who anybody who remembers the Raccoons, it's the voice of Bert Raccoon, and it's just the same voice here in this announcer voice. The Bathroom Hog.
Len Carlson, the Raccoons. That's, yeah, I'm excited for your episode on the Raccoons.
Yes, that was a good one.
That is a good one. Yeah, so this, I mean, that was the whole show, and it, I mean, it was very short. You know, it's only like 10 minutes long or so, but I don't know if I liked it, which is a shame because I wanted to like it so bad. You know, it's the Garbage Pail Kids. I love the Garbage Pail Kids, but it wasn't quite them. And I think part of it was because of the animation. Like, none of them really looked very much like their counterparts.
No, I mean, I could see that they were trying for that look. I feel like this is the show as, like, a style of humor. It was both too late and too early at the same time. Too late to have really latched on to the Garbage Pail Kids craze, and too early to kind of fine-tune that same sort of humor that we would see later in shows like Animaniacs
and Ren and Stimpy
and SpongeBob farther down the line. They've got that same sort of hit to those jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have done well a little later, but at that point, as far as collecting Garbage Pail Kids, that was way too late. So this is the best they could do.
Yeah, they needed to have capitalized on it like in 86, I think.
Yeah. You know,
by that time, like two or three series would have come out. You know, they could have really captured the style, I think, and the popularity. They could have ridden the wave a little better. But you're right. It seemed very, and I don't want to say ahead of its time because the writing's not great, but you know, at the same time, it is very reminiscent of that style, that more irreverent kind of thing, you know, because at the time we had all those, you know, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, He-Man. At the end of all their shows, they had like those public service announcements, you know, those PSAs that kind of taught a lesson. There was a moral after everything. And so in this case, there wasn't. It was more like, you know, let's be irreverent.
Yeah, let's be rude. And I can tell that they were trying to play off that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a bummer. I would have liked to have liked it a little bit more, but at the same time, it was good. I'll take it for what it is. I'll probably not watch the rest of the episodes, but I'll look at my cards with fondness.
There you go.
Oh man. So, you know, Mike, I have to ask if you could, because I know sometimes it's hard. If you could pick like your happiest memory of Garbage Pail Kids, what would you say it would be?
Well, as bad as the movie was, I did have this sense of joy of getting a copy of it that a friend of mine in college ripped onto a DVD along with the Monster Squad as a Christmas gift one year.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's quite a double feature.
Yeah, that's a good combo there. Yeah. Monster Squad, of course, is like one of my favorite movies ever, because I was super into the Universal monsters, and so it was fun to see mm-hmm. them just slightly different, but you know they had the whole ethos of it, and so I really enjoyed Monster Squad, of course. Yeah, that's a good combo. I really enjoyed that, and I know we didn't talk much about the movie. It's just one of those that kind of, it's good, but it's not good. Like
we've said what we needed to say about the movie, but
I think you're right.
That was it. That's the only Christmassy memory I have of Garbage Pail Kids. Besides, now that I've seen this.
Yeah, for me, and I remember this one in particular. So my happiest memory would be I actually got a couple in my stocking one year.
Oh, nice.
So it was one of those you'd pull it out and they had that gum, you know, that was like
the
most awful gum ever, but you were like obligated to chew it.
Right. It was like the same size and shape of the rest of the cards, but it was just the world's most stale piece of gum. And
it just kind of chalky.
You tried to chew it and it just broke into pieces in your mouth until you maybe happened to like finagle it into a chewed wad of gum, and at that point the flavor
was completely gone. Yes,
if it was even there to begin with.
It was so bad, but like you were like at that point obligated to chew it. You had to do
just
it.
Just like, well, I'm gonna see this through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I remember every time I was like, maybe this one will be better. Nope, never was.
Maybe I got just a bad batch. No, the whole thing was bad.
Pretty much, yeah. No, I do remember a couple when you turn the cards over. Sometimes they would have, you know, the wanted things that I talked about, you know, the
right,
you know, things like that. But sometimes they had a picture of like it was like a puzzle piece.
Oh yeah, and you had to put them all together.
And one of them in particular, and I can't remember his name, but it was the Garbage Pail Kid that like zips his face down, and you can like see his skull.
Yes,
that one was kind of cool.
That's a classic one, and I couldn't tell you his name.
Yeah, same here. Shame on me. I should have looked it up.
Yeah, well.
But oh well. Now we come, though, to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the special. You know, as a guest, I'll let you go first, just kind of set up the scene. And then, of course, we'll let the listeners vote, and the winner will get either a new Totally Rad Christmas sticker or bragging rights.
Hey, there you go.
But again, I haven't won yet, so you're probably okay.
well, I picked the kid who was getting bullied, and I think it was Clogged Dwayne comes to his rescue. He was like, stop picking on him. And the kid goes, mind your own business. I want him to pick on me. Then I'm going to kick his shins. That way we'll both get great gifts.
That was good. I don't know if I can do mine after that. So I picked, it was Chris Mess, and it's actually kind of part of what I said earlier. So he's just pushed his way up. The kid, bully, he cuts in line, and he goes, let's see, nice going. Why wait in line when you can butt in front of a wimp?
Classic Santa.
Yeah, that's right. Always what I think of when I think of Santa. Can you imagine like David Huddleston or Ed Asner. Well, you know what? I probably could could picture Ed Asner saying that, but
yeah,
but no, I definitely cannot picture Edmund Gwynn or,
oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. You know, yeah, for sure. But, you know, G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
The other half is making sure your half-melted snowman spy is passing out pieces of himself to your allies.
That's a good one. So I think if knowing's half the battle, the other half is stealing an idea, then putting your own spin on it if you want to be popular.
There you go.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where try not to get sued, I guess, and make it work. But, you know, it's funny because to me, Garbage Pail Kids is kind of like Weird Al.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They both just are parodies of things. Of course, Weird Al is way more successful. But at the same time, I mean, they both have that playfulness about them, you know? And it's kind of hard to say in words. And I'm sure if I had a couple of minutes to really just sit and think about what I wanted to say, I'd probably get it out perfectly, but that wouldn't be the spirit of Garbage Pail Kids. So
in that short and sweet.
Exactly. So I'm going to say they were cool, and that's about it.
Good times.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, Mike, it's been a blast talking to you just about, you know, random things from the past that really don't make any sense nowadays, but at the same time, just bring back so many memories. And so, you know, I got to ask, what do you want to plug? Like, tell me about your show.
Well, my podcast, The Advent Calendar House, is running all month of December from the 2nd through Christmas Eve. Every other day, I'm going to be covering a different TV holiday special. So come on over and check it out. It's at adventcalendar.house. We have a lot of fun conversation like this, and we go on all sorts of tangents for things. I cover everything from Christmas Comes to Packland to the Jack Benny Christmas Shopping Show. So tune in.
Right on. And they can find you at
adventcalendar.house is the website. You can follow me on Twitter at FallWestMike. And the show's also on Instagram now at Advent Calendar House.
Right on. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's always fun. It's funny. It's very well researched, and I always learn a lot. So yeah, definitely check it out. It's just one of the best shows out there.
Jerry's going to be on this season, so
yay! Yeah. And so I will do my best to be good.
No worries.
No, but on that note, I'm going to end it by saying the spirit of Christmas isn't just getting presents. You should be good because it makes you feel good. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like earning some good points, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
Are you tired of not being able to fit your 8-hour VHS tape full of holiday specials into your car stereo? So was I, till I discovered the Advent Calendar House. It's a podcast, you know, on the internet. They talk about all your favorite holiday specials.
I'm the most important part, because I'm the Christmas toy.
From the must-watch Christmas classics...
Humbug.
To the lost treasures at the bottom of the bargain bin.
I'm Olive, I'm the other reindeer.
Now I don't have to hook up a VCR to my car battery anymore. Thanks, Advent Calendar House. Visit adventcalendar.house now to download your first episode free. And all the other ones free. It's a free podcast. Just go listen.
Gadgets, toys, greed, avarice. I love it.